equipment, judging by what I keep seeing, it might provide salary for a clerical person for 5 or 6 years to do some of this. But at any rate, I'd like to hear the options, and I guess I've said that enough times. I'd be interested in your consensus list of who should be given access, and I'd be interested in any options that any of you might have that would allow us to protect the citizens in another way. Thank you.
I have two questions, and maybe this is better for Mr. Stark or Mr. Parker. If you don't, why don't you just come on up and join me for a second here. We'll take another couple minutes, then we'll adjourn. Mr. Hemingway asked me to ask, what happens if the automatic cut-in reaches an answering machine? Does it result in the call going through so that the inmate can leave a message even though the recipient wouldn't have wanted to talk to the inmate? Mr. Stark.
Actually, how I understand the system will work is if it's a touch tone phone, the person on the receiving end will be asked to push 1 if they want to accept the call and hang up if they don't. It's only for a rotary phone, which, as you know, there are fewer and fewer of those out there, that the person would simply stay on the phone to take the call. And I don't believe those things, answering machines, work on rotary phones. I could be wrong, but I don't believe they do.
Okay. Just to clarify, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Stark, they do work on rotary phones. A lot of people in my district still have rotary phones, and I guess it would be useful. Gosh, you know, really, you did kind of convince me, and I feel that I don't want to keep intruding into this, but if the difference between a rotary phone and a non-rotary phone are going to change the implementation of the system, then maybe that's another reason why this isn't the best system.
Well, let me suggest to you, if the person's not there, and rather it's a recording machine and it's taking a message, then the person is not
for rotary
present.
It doesn't bother me for the message to be received.
Right. Well, I'm saying even people who might not want to talk to the prisoner, if it's not a live conversation, there's not the same
right there. I agree. I think that, but I mean, that calls into question the whole utility of this system, because if the idea is to protect people from fraud, for example, let's use that credit card fraud example, then we haven't achieved our purpose. We've put this fraudulent message on the tape, and I'm not saying that I question whether the whole thing is necessary as far as protecting the public, but you have cited examples that were compelling to me and obviously to other members of the committee that suggest there is a problem. I've shifted gears. I'm satisfied with what... I got the subsection A language, I'm happy. And I'm going to get those exceptions that you guys collectively think are in the public interest, and I'm going to be happy. But now what is disturbing me is I think the whole system is very questionable. I don't see any reason to listen in to every phone call, number one. Number two, I don't concur that taping them is not listening in. And it seems to me if what we're trying to do is to protect the security of the institution, if the evidence brought forward, the testimony brought forward, is that security is a problem, you know, then I'm going to have to take kind of one attitude. But where the problem is prank phone calls or fraudulent activities by prisoners, then maybe there's another way to look at this. Like, for example, since they're going to have to reveal who they're calling before they call now to any call they make anyway under any of these scenarios, maybe that's enough. Maybe when you add up the cost of all of these pieces of electronic equipment and God knows what else will be added to that with the technicians to run it and everything else, maybe there are simpler ways, like a switchboard, for example.
Can I get a little more background information?
Well, we're about to run out of time here. Let me just ask the second question. And I'm not sure that I understand this question, so I've asked Mr. Hemingway to sit in. With the permission of Representative Galton, Mr. Hemingway, why don't you ask your own second question?
Please.
Well, the second question just comes out of the comment in the briefing paper indicated that there will be some numbers will be blocked. In other words, you won't even be able to get into this automatic dial. Voice comes on and asks, do you want cancer? But there will be some numbers that are blocked ahead of time.
We've combined, what's going on here is a combination of two systems, the one that's in place now, the one that will be in place. Right now, it's Spring Creek, which, by the way, is the only system in which there is plans to put this full-time phone monitoring system into effect. because of the severity of the type of inmate that's at that facility. Our worst offenders are there, and 400 of them. The other facilities that will not be putting in the recording equipment, the system right now at Spring Creek is to block access. Once we have this new system expanded to Spring Creek, there won't be a need to block any phone calls because people don't want to take the calls if they won't take them. So we'll be removing the existing system, which is the blocking capability. And for the other facilities where, and there may be perhaps Cook Inlet, they might want to put the monitoring equipment in, but for those other systems, there will simply be a recording of the number that's called, the time the call was made, and from which phone in the facility the call was made from. The content of the conversation will not be recorded. There will still be the capability.
I'm sorry. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Once the new system is installed, will there still be the capability to block?
I don't know.
Can you find out?
I do know that there is a capability of programming as many, this is important to you, as many as 7 numbers into the phone without having to go through this automated operator intercept. And those were intended to be the Ombudsman's Office, the local PD, local legislative information office, those kinds of things.
Would you find out if they have the capability?
Yes.
Okay, I think that may answer Andy's question.
Yeah, basically the reason for asking the question was just to find out if it would be possible, assuming that there was that blocking capacity, would it be possible, or what would be the manner in which a citizen could get into that so that they would be able to prevent the call even from being made if they wanted to do that?
Right now, most facility systems don't have the ability to block, like Spring Creek. What happens is somebody gets a call from a prisoner, they don't want a call, they call the facility and say, this guy is calling me, he's bothering me for whatever reason, I don't want the call. They'll say, please put it to us in writing, we'll instruct him not to call you. If you're called again, let us know and the person will be punished. Denied access to the phone for a period of time or whatever. Put in a place where a phone is not readily available. That does happen from time to time, and we deal with it through the disciplinary system.
Representative Cole, any further questions? Okay. We would appreciate it if you would... Now, let me just ask. I don't hear any objection on the Ombudsman Amendment conceptually. But the question is how we're going to craft that and other similar institutions into the bill. So I'm not prepared to draft anything at that point, but I think we have the consensus to support the Ombudsman. And I'd ask the staff, will you be working on this? Mark, will you be working on it to make sure that that's there. Representative Gall needs to work with you and staff to come up with appropriate language.
Let's just see here, maybe since I can see that you would like to try to get these decisions made as soon as possible.
No, I want you to be satisfied.
I share your concern. Do you see any chance of making any progress on alternative systems, or is that just going to be kind of an exercise?
There's been a vast amount of resources and time expended on looking at the technology and what's best able to happen. The cost of this is not as high as you think. I mean, as I indicated, the monitoring is only going to be going on in 1 or 2 selective facilities. That's the most expensive equipment right there. The other system is expected long-distance revenues from collect calls, which a portion comes back to the department, will be paying for the cost of the local system. So the revenues expended are fairly minimal.
I'm more concerned with targeting your problem people rather than listening to everybody's phone call.
The problem, and which we didn't get into before, is in addition to the other abuses, and I wouldn't classify these abuses as planning escapes and introduction of drugs. Those are 2 primary concerns. We just recently had an escape attempt that was foiled at the Cook Inlet facility 2 weeks ago. Introduction of drugs is the primary concern. It happens all the time, routinely arranged for over the telephone. Serious drugs, cocaine, sometimes heroin, certainly marijuana and other drugs. That is a concern that the Department of Corrections has and is attempting all the time to prevent. Yeah.
So let's assume that we don't make any headway on second-guessing the department regarding techniques. Who are the people that you folks think should be included on the list?
I think we're going to have to talk
about
amongst
ourselves. Time on
I do want to talk to Commissioner Humphrey.
I just thought if there was any way to develop that today, I would help. But I think it's better for you guys to sit down quietly.
If you could set it on, soon, again, something's going on, I think we can resolve this by tomorrow.
Okay, well, why don't you, one of you, get back to me, to Mark,
right,
in my office tomorrow, and let me know how you're coming, and
then
we'll set it on. Hopefully this will not take much time.
No,
once we know what you want, we'll have a CS, we'll bicycle it around, and we can move it quickly.
Yeah, I'm satisfied. I would like to find a way to improve this, but I have nothing to offer, so I can't ask you guys to come up with my ideas for me. So I'll go with the chairman on this, and all I'd like to do is get that Section A factored in, come up with amendment language, as Mr. Gruenberg says, that'll create a list of logical persons that an inmate should have a right to have a confidential conversation with, and let's try to kick it out.
And then I would ask you, we work with Mark on the language.
Absolutely.
Make sure Phil Boland is on board with you. Thank you. It's now 3:15. We thank you very much.
Thank you. Talk to Susan.